You are about to hear a 15-minute free preview of the latest bonus show to hit our Patreon-only podcast feed. Top Rope Nation Patreon members have access to multiple members-only podcasts every single month, including at least one new show each and every week. This includes new episodes of TRN Classics, TRN Unplugged, and TRN Extra. Plus, ad-free versions of our weekly flagship show, merchandise giveaways, virtual hangouts, and other benefits. So in order to support us and ensure Top Rope Nation continues well into the future, and to gain access to all of these great benefits and exclusive shows, join the Patreon page now. You can get full access for just $5 per month. Click that link in the broadcast description to learn more and enjoy this free preview of one of our latest Patreon bonus shows. What's up, everybody? It is the 52nd edition of Top Rope Nation Classics here for our wonderful patrons on patreon.com/Top Rope Nation. I'm Ryan Drosty with Justin Joint, Jesse Velasquez, and the perfect guest to bring on, the absolute perfect guest for this, who I will introduce momentarily, because yes, indeed, he was in the Sky Dome back in March of 2002 for WrestleMania 18, which is our topic tonight. This one just narrowly beat out WrestleMania 8, if I do remember, in the poll. So a little bit more recent than some of the shows we've done of late, although more recent, 22 years ago, hard to believe. But we will be going back in time to the Sky Dome tonight. Justin Joint reliving, 2002. I think you were drinking age at least, weren't you?
Yes. Yes. Sorry, I had to think about that for a second. Because it's always, I turn, like for 2002, I would turn 22 that fall. So I had to get that straight in my head. But yes, which kind of interfered with my wrestling interest at the time, because I could go to bars with friends and, you know, just all sorts of shenanigans I was getting up to at that time. And I was still watching wrestling mostly regularly, but not quite like I had been years previous.
Well, I mean, lucky for you, you had a good buddy who was keeping you in the loop with Wrestling Observer newsletters in the break room at work. Who was that guy?
Yeah. 21 years old before I ever read a Wrestling Observer newsletter.
But who was that guy? Who was cluing you in?
That'd be the guy to my left if you're watching the screen. You, buddy.
I was a senior in high school. That's right. And there was a very specific reason I knew Justin was 21 years old at that point in time, but I'll leave that for your imagination. But we had been friends for, about 6 months or so at this point in time. So Justin, we actually knew each other at the time when we probably talked about this in real time. In fact, Justin, we were talking about this the other day. Mm-hmm. I think I might have loaned you my pay-per-view VHS copy of the show, and that might have been the first time that you saw it.
It was either that or I had to wait to rent it because I know I didn't watch it live, because I remember seeing pictures afterwards, you know, and this was before I was online or you know, before Twitter and all these wrestling communities and whatnot. So I didn't, outside of honestly, you were the only person I could talk wrestling with. So me seeing the pictures from this show, when I watched it, I was getting ready to see the greatest pay-per-view ever in my mind. So yeah. It was a little sorely disappointed in that department.
Yeah, you and I mean, we talked a lot of wrestling at work. We were working in a very small store here in our hometown called Ben Franklin, if anyone remembers that. It was not the most happening place, and we had a lot of downtime to talk pro wrestling, which we did, and that was where our friendship blossomed, Justin. And I'm glad for that old store, because we got a lot of good wrestling discussion, and it was our training ground for this podcast one day. We just didn't know it at the time.
Absolutely.
And for me, my wrestling fandom was really high. Senior in high school, I kind of found my crew at that point in time of friends at school that were super into wrestling. And we were talking about it every day in the hallways leading up to this event. But I actually did not see this show live, surprisingly. It was during spring break, a little bit early for WrestleMania that year, March 17th, 2002. And my family actually took a trip to Memphis, Tennessee on spring break that spring. And I didn't get to see WrestleMania live, but I was heavily into tape trading, and I had someone send it to me in the mail. And I think by the time I got back from Memphis, it was there in the mailbox, and I watched it late that week. So I saw it a few days on delay. Jesse Velasquez, what about you, sir? When did you see the show? What was going on in your world at this time?
A lot was going on in my world. I saw this live, as I shot to you guys in the text thread. 17 and 18 were the two most memorable Manias I can remember from a who I was with perspective. They've been my wrestling crew since probably WrestleMania 15. And I've known these guys for over 25 years. And we've watched, I'd say, 15 of the last 20 Manias together. So I was with them in the basement at one of their houses. Just an incredible time. 3 weeks later would be one of the top probably five nights of my entire life, when the University of Minnesota won their first national hockey championship, college hockey, that is, in 23 years. Was a junior on the campus, and I'll go into details at some point in time, but let's just say we were up till 7 in the morning, partying with the boys, lots of women, and trust me, I'd love to relive that night at least once a year if I could.
Nice. Well, our guest tonight, he had a much more exciting viewing of this, as I said in the open. He was actually at the Sky Dome, and I want to talk about how that came about, because I believe it was somewhat last minute from what we were talking about here in the days leading up to this podcast. But this is patron of the show, good friend of the pod, Jay Schmitz. And Jay, the last time all of us were hanging out, it wasn't on a podcast, but in fact, we were at the Flying Elbow in Marshalltown, Iowa, all together in person just a few weeks ago. Now you're here making your debut on the pod. Welcome to Top Rope Nation Classics. Thank you for your support. Tell us about your world, your fandom in 2002, and how this trip to Toronto came about.
Yeah, so and I'm sure we'll get to it, as awesome as the Rock Hogan memory is, my brother and I, who attended the show, really went and bought tickets hoping it would be Rock or Austin Hogan. And we're actually very disappointed in the card by the time we got there, which was a weird experience to have for our first WrestleMania. But ultimately, it was kind of a weird, I was a sophomore in college. Normally, my family had spring break plans every year. And for whatever reason, we just didn't have any. And so if you remember the somewhat cheesy vignette where Vince has to inject poison into the WWF to save it. And, you know, I was just like, oh, finally, because I used to be like a Razor Ramon mark. I really, you know, was totally into tribalism at the time. I was all about like wanting WCW to fail, WWF to win. And so like the year before when they bought it, it was like vindication that I was following the better company the whole time, you know?
Yes.
And so then I would say at this point, that was the first year where my fandom was starting to be like, okay, the invasion angle didn't live up to anything. Like nothing was really like as good as how I'd fantasy booked it. And so I was starting to become a little troll-like, I would say, online. But then once the NWO came around, I'm like, oh, they can't screw this up, right? You have both the best gimmicks that were on both shows at once, and clearly I was wrong, but basically, once they announced the NWO, my brother and I were like, let's steal our mom's van and go to Canada. And so we got a few other friends that rounded us out. And mom's like, where are you guys going for spring break? Oh, just up north a bit. And I think they might have thought Minneapolis. And no, we just kept going. And sure enough, ended up in Toronto, first time out of the country. I remember being terrified crossing the border because I thought they were going to like interrogate us entering the country. And they're like, we don't really care why you're coming into Canada. It's fine. You can go. So yeah, it was fun.
That's awesome. So, and that was, didn't you tell me this was one of the first long road trips you had taken kind of on your own?
Yeah.
As well. And
yeah.
You went all the way to Canada.
Yeah, we went. And I remember we had no idea, like didn't scout. So there was a time, you know, we stopped to make a pit stop and like Detroit before crossing the border and walk in and like the gas station had bars over, you know, between the cash register and everything. And like, we look around and it's just like this terrifying bit of Detroit. It's like, maybe we should have put some thought into how we were doing this or what we were doing. But, you know, we just had printed out MapQuest directions. They were leading us the way. What are you going to do?
Hey, the Silver Dome was still standing back then. You could have went and paid homage on the way through.
That's true.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Live at the Sky Dome, Toronto, Canada. The second time, of course, this venue had hosted WrestleMania following WrestleMania 6 back in 1990. They had 68,237 in the building, including one Jay Schmitz, 61,069 paid. So they had about 8,000 in there, or no, sorry, 7,000 free tickets that night. This translated on pay-per-view to a 1.68 domestic buy rate. That was about 707,000 domestic buys. When you include worldwide buys, they came in at 860,000 buys for this show. This was down from WrestleMania 17, which had 970,000 North American buys. And we had 707, like I said, for this show. Now, that was the most ever in Raw buys for a WWF pay-per-view, WrestleMania 17, the year before. It was also less domestic buys for WrestleMania 18 than they had done 2 years earlier for WrestleMania 2000, which did 757,000. And WrestleMania, you go back in time further, WrestleMania 15, 863,000 domestic buys, WrestleMania 14, 809,000. So all of those were higher in terms of Raw buys than WrestleMania 18, but still, you know, a high number. 707,000 was higher than the 218,000 that WrestleMania 13 had done 5 years earlier. And WrestleMania 19, things fell off a cliff because they were down to 427,000 domestic buys the year after the show, which did 707,000.
The sins of late 2002 booking coming to bite them in the ass.
Yeah. Now, I was looking up a lot of business numbers before we went on the air. And WrestleMania 18, so it was the sixth most bought Mania ever domestically at that point in time. We don't have, for the most part, worldwide buys prior to WrestleMania 2000. We're just looking at domestic buys here. It trailed, as I said, WrestleMania 17, 15, 14, 2000, and WrestleMania 5 in that order. Now, WrestleMania 5 had a 6.01 buy rate. So even though, like, in Raw numbers, it was just, you know, barely ahead of WrestleMania 18, that buy rate's incredible. So if you don't know what that means, it means that, like, essentially 6% of people who had the capacity to buy pay-per-views in 1989 purchased WrestleMania 5. Versus, you know, WrestleMania 18, where it was like 1.68% buy rate. So even though, like, some of these numbers are much higher, you know, when you get to the late 90s, early 2000s, you got to remember that the pay-per-view audience is way bigger. The ability to purchase a pay-per-view is much bigger than back in the 80s when these buy rates are, like, incredible. WrestleMania 3, even though it just had 400,000 domestic buys, that was an 8.0 buy rate. So 8% of people bought WrestleMania 3 who had the capacity to do so. So I mean, this is a good number in terms of raw buys, but when you look at those buy rates and you go back to the 80s, it's incredible the numbers they were doing back then. But I mean, overall, this show is a huge success. That 68,237 people in the building number, just the total verified attendance, that was like the fifth most ever for a pro wrestling show at that moment in time. It only trailed the two shows between WCW and New Japan that were in North Korea back in 1995, WrestleMania 3 and SummerSlam 92. Those are the only shows that had more people in the building total. Now, when you look at paid attendance, though, this was actually only the third highest paid attendance in Toronto in history. So they had 61,069 paid for this show, you know, and that was trailing just barely 61,864 for WrestleMania 6 back in 1990. And it also trailed the Hulk Hogan Paul Orndorff match in August of 1986, which happened at Exhibition Stadium. It's 61,470 in the stadium for that one.
I didn't realize that was in Toronto.
We talked about that card a little bit on the Saturday Night's Main Event review with Kyle, correct?
Yes, indeed. Yeah, that was that? Yeah, that was last fall. That's right. Yeah.
Which those are all important things to keep in mind when we eventually get to the crowd reaction to Hulk Hogan.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Considering how beloved he was there.
Yeah.